passing along the torch here, hour two of Anti-Media Radio. My name is Jake Anderson. And wow, what a Christmas weekend. We had George Michael die. We had Carrie Fisher die. And we had President Barack Obama sneak in a little Christmas present to our Christmas stocking of the NDAA Act, basically making it to where it looks as though the government is going to actively take on alternative media and anything they deem to be disinformation. But we're going to get to that. First, we got to address the elephant in the room, which is, you know, if there's one thing that's more disturbing than celebrity worship, it's celebrity death worship. And that's kind of what we have going on right now. Now, look, before you start throwing rocks at me, Carrie Fisher was a powerful mental health advocate for bipolar disorder, and by all accounts, he was a good person. George Michael was an advocate for gay rights. But let's be clear. What we have going on here is the use of the death of celebrities and icons as a cathartic release for collective emotion. And there's a little bit of a sports team mentality here, shared sense of loss that can be culturally cathartic. Unfortunately, Americans tend to neglect other ways for cathartic healing, especially when it comes to the actions of our federal, state, and local government, which deprive thousands, even millions, of non-celebrities of their lives. So I'm going to try and bring this around full circle by the end of the show, but we have to be more proactive. We have to share our emotions and our feelings with each other. In times of non-grief, we have to be able to mobilize collectively together online on social media in times where there's not just a celebrity death. Now, I'm a nerd. I'm a sci-fi nerd. I love Star Wars, so I'm grieving today too. But let's be honest. None of you knew Carrie Fisher, and but you know, it's good to let your emotions out. And so I'm adding to the call here our time guru of anti-media, DB Schwartz. DB, are you mourning today?
Yeah, I mean, what is that, 4 and 2 days? So I read some deleted tweets that if there's like two more tomorrow, then it's like a ritual or something. If there's two and two. So before the end of the year here, some chaos magic.
Yeah, there's that to think about. Whether there's significance to the chaos, or if it's just humans passing off the earth as we are wont to do, you know. It's a shame that such a sci-fi icon didn't make it to the singularity, because Princess Leia could have lived forever. She still might, you know.
Another good point, she'll be
reborn as a hologram. And she'll continue to beckon Obi-Wan Kenobi to save us.
Yeah, I mean, another good point to bring up just too is, Jake, like a lot of people are saying, why are all these celebrities passing away? And just quite frankly, the population, massive population boom in the 50s, 60s, 70s is all catching up now. So naturally, there's so many dang people on the earth that there's going to be a huge amount of celebrities that die every year going forward, more and more.
Right.
And more.
It's the whole issue of synchronicity and patterns in the chaos. There's certain minds that see connections where there are none. And there might be connections there. But, you know, I'm torn as to whether I believe, there patterns to the chaos. But you know, I got a little off track here, but you know, I think the value of it is that, you know, we can't only mobilize collectively as a group in mourning something when a celebrity dies. There's got to be a better way. And in this case, we have a really pretty incredible thing that happened over the Christmas weekend. And like most bills, bipartisan omnibus bills, they like to pass them right before Christmas, and they like to slip in a bunch of really nefarious shit right at the end. And this time they did it. And what they did is into the NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act of 2017, they added in what is being called, and it's bipartisan, it's being called the Countering Disinformation and Propaganda Act. Now, this is a really, really disturbing thing, and we're going to spend pretty much the entire show talking about it because it's about as Orwellian as you can get. And we're going to get into that too. But there's two, and by the way, in a minute, we're going to bring in our journalists, or not our journalists, but an incredible journalist and activist who's written about this to give us the breakdown from it. But I'm going to introduce it real quick. This Countering Disinformation and Propaganda Act has basically two priorities. And of course, this is, just for the record, this is in direct response to the whole fake news and the new Red Scare. That's being used as a Trojan horse to slip in a way to basically, you know, hack down on alternative media. But let's get into this. So the first priority is that the bill would increase the authority, resources, and mandate of the Global Engagement Center to include state actors like Russia and China, in addition to violent extremists. The center will be led by the State Department and various agencies. The center will develop, integrate, and synchronize whole-of-government initiatives to blah, 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 blah. The legislation establishes a fund to help train local journalists and provide grants and contracts to NGOs, civil society organizations, think tanks, private sector companies, media organizations, and other experts outside the U.S. government with experience in identifying and analyzing the latest trends in foreign government disinformation techniques. All right, now I think the most important part of it comes at the very end, and I'm reading off of a site called Zero Hedge right now. We're going to get into Claire's article from the Free Thought Project, but this, it will empower a decentralized network of private sector experts and integrate their expertise into the strategy making process. Can someone say Operation Mockingbird Part 2? Because that's exactly what this is. And we're going to get into that. But first, I want to introduce our amazing journalist, Claire Bernish. Claire, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. You wrote an article for the Free Thought Project about this, and it's called Using Holidays as a Distraction. Obama just signed the NDAA propaganda provision to destroy the free press. Now, are you being hyperbolic, or is that what you actually think it's going to do?
I really think that it will do that, yes. And the reason that I think that is we're talking about the government kind of employing doublespeak. The government is saying we are going to use the narrative of fake news to create fake news of our own to destroy actual real, journalism with integrity. Basically, this is a response to alternative media doing a fantastic bang-up job reporting on the contents of WikiLeaks during the election cycle, the corruption in the Democratic Party, corruption with Hillary Clinton, with the mainstream media. There has been an enormous backlash by, you know, of course, the kind of neoliberal establishment and some Republicans, and also by the Clintonite camp. Just because the truth was reported, and it's as if they're looking for every excuse in the book to blame, except for themselves, for the failures in this election.
Why does it always seem like these accidental, quote unquote, accidental major shifts happen to usher in these incredibly draconian pieces of legislation? 9/11 just happens to usher in the Patriot Act. This election, which no one expected Trump to win, happens to usher in this basically now unfettered cracking down on alternative media. Do you see connections here? I mean, do you think you don't think that this was innocuous? You think that this was specifically the legislation was introduced in March. Okay? It was first introduced in March. So what was going on in March, and how do you think this evolved, and what do you think the further intentions of it are moving forward?
Well, Well, this, I mean, it was introduced as a standalone bill, which is still lingering in Congress. It's almost identical legislation. It's just sitting there under the same name, in fact. And it was introduced, I believe, as kind of a preventive measure, like ahead of time, as if they saw where things were going and right. knew that this would be taking place. And knew that perhaps Trump would win, and knew that they did not really have a stand like the stand on in this election, due to all the corruption. And I think this was kind of, you know, we've seen censorship on social media, particularly on Facebook, over many, many months now, and it's gotten worse and worse and worse. And this is really, in essence, even broader than quashing alternative media. It's an effort to stamp out dissent in general. Right. If you don't have the opinions that differ from the proposed narrative, if you don't have anything that tells you the absolute truth, or you don't have the means to actually obtain the truth, then all you have is propaganda. I think that was always the intent. If you can't stir support for your platform in general, like not just Hillary's platform, but you know the establishment political platform in general, if you can't stir support organically, then you have to find a way right. to make sure that it happens somehow, and the best way to do that is by censoring access to all legitimate information.
Well, it looks as though in some ways we should take this as a compliment, because it looks as though they've realized that they can't stop us, and so instead of trying to stop the organic decentralized network of alternative media, they're going to create their own decentralized network of agitprop, fake propaganda to further the state narrative. Is that what it looks like to you?
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. We're talking about the government employing people to disseminate information. I mean, some of the phrases they use in this legislation are really kind of astonishing.
Oh my God.
They're talking about this one phrase in particular really grabbed my eye. They are trying to make sure that there is dissemination. This is quote, dissemination of fact-based narratives. I mean, if you really look at what that language is, it is literally saying it'll have some sort of basis in reality, but yeah. it's going to be our reality.
It's based on a true story in a movie.
Right, exactly. You know, we're going to give you a narrative that we really like, and you're going to take it, and you don't have a choice. There is one thing that I did not really touch on in my article, but that is also of extreme note here. There's a possibility in the other legislation, the twin legislation that is sitting in Congress, that this can be used to claim that people who prefer a narrative favorable to enemy states could be considered terrorists. Right. So we have the beginnings of a literal McCarthyite era throwback, where journalists who report on the truth of corruption in whatever political establishment might be in power, they could be held accountable all the way up until, you know, treasonous acts for reporting the truth if it's unfavorable to the political establishment. And that's a really big deal. And I did not delve into that because it's more in the realm of the theoretical, but it's right. also a very distinct possibility that must be noted.
Well, and I don't think people can fully grasp how terrifying this really is. Right now, we have basically a couple figureheads that are taking the brunt of what's being called disinformation truth, according to the establishment. We have Julian Assange and we have Edward Snowden. And those are two people that if the establishment had its way, they'd be brought to trial. And if Trump's people had their way, they'd be executed. Hillary's people probably would have just thrown him in prison and used them to reverse engineer all their networks and whatnot. But what the danger here is that, well, not only is there a chilling effect of what's going to happen when you have a new legion of truth tellers descending upon alternative media networks, and this is where we really have to get into Operation Mockingbird, because it's just simply too similar, and it's exactly what happened. Okay, so and Claire, we're going to return to your article, and I actually want to get into your article about how the same thing is happening in Germany too. But in the late 1940s, as the Cold War was getting underway, the CIA launched a top secret program called Operation Mockingbird. This was on my list of 10 conspiracy theories that turned out to be true. It took several decades to declassify these documents. But basically, the CIA bought influence and control among the major media outlets. They embedded journalists and reporters directly on the CIA payroll. The architects of this plan, it was Frank Wisner, Alan Dulles, Richard Helms, really just great people, tremendous people, the publisher of the Washington Post. And what they plan to do is enlist American news organizations and journalists to, essentially become spies and propagandists. Their entrenched list of agents eventually included journalists from ABC, NBC, CBS, Time, Newsweek, Associated Press, United Press, Reuters. Basically, by the 1950s, the CIA had infiltrated the nation's businesses, media, universities with tens of thousands of on-call operatives. This was in the 1950s, people. Do you realize how it never ended? It's still going on, and we talk about this all the time. But this new global engagement center, this sounds about as Orwellian as you can get. This scares the hell out of me.
There's another note though on that Mockingbird, on Operation Mockingbird. In September, the government essentially legalized Operation Mockingbird. It's as if they had been planning for this piece of legislation to be slipped into the NDAA the whole time.
I didn't know that.
There was a review about what happened was, I believe it was the Associated Press the FBI used the Associated Press to make a fake article. They used a letterhead and everything, and they were trying to catch like one criminal who had made bomb threats to a high school repeatedly. And it was just a high school kid. And they used a fake article and emailed this kid this article, and the kid opened it, and that was how they tracked him. And there was a review, there was a huge controversy over it, and there was a big review about that by the Justice Department Office of Inspector General. And the review found that the FBI was not in the wrong for making this fake article. And so basically... Wow. Operation Mockingbird was officially legalized in September ahead of this. So we have like a confluence of different circumstances coming together right now where we are literally going to have information is in jeopardy here. That's the biggest takeaway from all of this right. That we all need to make sure that we understand. It is almost painful to watch social media say, well, yeah, but there are so many fake news sites and there are so many illegitimate articles. You know, what it comes down to is personal responsibility. Personal responsibility right. dictates that you should investigate something yourself. You should investigate sources. You should follow links. You should try to find out the truth for yourself. If you can't, then you ask your circle of friends. You ask your family. You ask people that yes. you trust what they think. And it has nothing at all to – there should be no arbiter of fake news. Nobody
Absolutely.
Should be making that decision for you because it opens the floodgates for censorship that is irreversible once it takes place.
This is the free market of ideas, people. You can put a fake idea out there. It's not against the law. It's free speech.
Exactly. That too. Like it if you're misled, does it really matter? Does it really matter that you've been misled and spread a fake story? I mean, here's the thing too. Like Facebook is going to now. They have this team of people that are all very left-leaning, these left-leaning organizations. You know, Snopes going through a controversy right now where they have embezzled money for prostitution. And they're one of the sites that's going to be, like, arbiting fake news. It's so absurd, it's ridiculous. But with Facebook labeling things disputed or not disputed, as if they're truthful or not, it automatically labels information good or bad in people's minds, which is unacceptable. Considering that people will then be forced to like basically jump through hoops to share information. And if these sites who are already biased as sites are, and as they, you know, honestly should be, if they decide what information people should see, then people are only going to be seeing one side of this entire narrative. And now you like pile on top of that, this government propaganda organization, and we literally have quashed free speech. I mean, I understand that people are, you know, a little bit undecided about fake news, and they're a little bit up in the air, and the government has created this big fear-mongering campaign about don't spread fake information. But honestly, isn't it better to be able to decide for yourself, to look at information and to learn from your mistakes as well? If you share something that's false, which I think has probably happened to just about everybody, you learn from that and you move on and you learn to investigate more fully before you share something. And we're not going to have that chance for very long. Once this takes effect, and particularly with, you know, Trump's burgeoning narrative of he wants to quote unquote open up the libel laws, whatever that means, against journalists, we're really screwed in terms. It's not just alternative media journalists, it's the public that's screwed here.
If you want to see what he wants to create, it is the movie Denial. And you will see what happens when libel laws come back in the U.S. And if you thought something that was similar to them stifling dissent by shaming people or keeping you on a list or, I don't know, whatever you want to think, that whatever insane policy they had that would make people censor themselves, this will be nothing compared to you complaining on the Facebook page of a large company and then they sue you for libel.
Right.
This will destroy all dissent the minute it is signed.
Exactly. It will,
and it's terrifying. And look, if you're scared about fake news, you know, grow up and put your shoes on, okay? There's a lot of great dismantling of the fake news narrative. Claire, you've done a lot of it. The best one I've seen, or at least the paragraph I like the best, if you really want a way to contextualize fake news and how it fits in to how to handle information online, I think it was written by Glenn Greenwald of The Intercept. He opens his article with this paragraph. The phrase fake news has exploded in usage since the election, but the term is similar to other malleable political terms such as terrorism and hate speech. Because the phrase lacks any clear definition, it is essentially useless except as an instrument of propaganda and censorship. The most important fact to realize about this new term: those who most loudly denounce fake news are typically those most aggressively disseminating it. And that is what we have to remember, is that there is no such thing as clear objective truth anymore. There hasn't been in a while. But if you think for a split second that CNN or MSNBC or even NPR or PBS, or hell, even Democracy Now, I mean, as good as they are, I love Democracy Now. If you think you're getting the straight objective truth, no, you're getting a fact-based narrative. And now they're codifying that into law, which is that fact-based narratives are the go-to way of handling information. And DB, you're right. When this gets open to libel law and some of these articles we write, and this is when we get into 1984, because it's ultimately about the manufacturing of history. That's what we're getting into.
It is the destruction of history and the manufacturing of basically consented history. I mean, really, nobody knows exactly what's going on at all because everything in the past has been buried. I just posted that bill. It's the Portman Murphy counter-propaganda, but I just posted that officially from this dude Portman, the senator. So it's real. People were saying, oh, it's on the Ron Paul website, it's not real. No, it's real. This guy did introduce it and signed it, and it's signed, sealed. It's got to get through the House and everything now still, but what do they have to lose, right? But
anything particularly evil is bipartisan. So if it's the really evil stuff is bipartisan, both Democrats and Republicans will approve it.
Jake, and I wanted to ask also Claire about this. What, in my opinion, it means when the founder of Craigslist donates $1 million to prevent fake news, especially the hashtag of Pizzagate. These people are absolutely terrified out of their minds. This is not going away, people. It is growing and growing and growing. And these media pundits, these fake actors on TV that are saying this stuff's not real, that it's fake, don't be surprised when Trump gets in if there's trials and these people's names come up involved in these rings.
Yeah.
Jake, you mentioned like one of your favorite quotes about the fake news thing from Glenn Greenwald, but there was actually an editorial in Forbes that I would like to mention.
Please.
I think summarized fake news better than anything that I've seen yet. Jordan Shapiro wrote, while well-meaning people run around trying to protect children and gullible adults from so-called fake news, Anyone in the United States who actually leans totalitarian must be ecstatic. And he continues, an ideal first step toward squashing the First Amendment. Once the citizenry accepts the conceit that some news is real and therefore good, while some news is fake and therefore bad, they'll voluntarily submit to censorship. Freedom of the press can easily be replaced by sanctioned propaganda. And that's exactly what just happened. Yeah. That's exactly what just happened. Because people, I mean, people that I have had respect for, friends, I mean, virtual friends, whatever, on Facebook and such, who have for a long time shown integrity, are suddenly screaming about fake news as if it's like this horrid problem, where Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg himself said fake news basically didn't do jack shit to sway the election, because it did not. And yet the state pounced on it. You know, when you see something come forward, when you see a catchphrase or a term come forward and it's immediately parroted by all of mainstream media and by politicians, just nonstop in the news all the time. It's the same thing with the idea that the Russians did it, as if the Russians really actually hacked the election, whatever the hell that means. When you see something proffered like that repeatedly, you know that there is something going into effect that is at the government's will, and that is a narrative that you have to investigate further, and you have to make sure that you understand the actual basis where it comes from and why they're doing it.
Right.
And in this case, they're doing it to quash dissent. They're doing it to quash legitimate journalism and anything that stands in opposition to the establishment narrative. And now it's law, because we were looking at that bill and everybody was watching that bill and really concerned about the bill. And instead of dealing with the bill, they just shoved it right into the NDAA and passed it right through 2 days before Christmas. You can't get sneakier than that. There's a reason they did it that way. Yeah. It's because it's unpalatable, it's unacceptable, it's untenable, and it's going to have a disastrous effect on this country.
Well, and you know, it's pretty cliched of me to bring up 1984, but it's really just, we have to, because this Global Engagement Center, which is basically what, to me, it sounds like it's going to be the NSA of disinformation, which is going to be a kind of global hub for maintaining narratives around the world. And they have the technology to do it. DARPA has basically knows exactly what we're doing at all times on the internet. But let's remember that in 1984, there was the Ministry of Truth, also known as Mini True, and what they basically created a new language called Newspeak, and this is important because the role of in information, Orwell saw this coming from miles away, decades away. He was decades off, but he saw it coming. The Ministry of Truth, or the Global Engagement Center, is involved with news media, entertainment, the fine arts, and educational books. Its purpose is to rewrite history, to change the facts to fit party doctrine for propaganda effect. For example, if Big Brother makes a prediction that turns out to be wrong, the employees of the Ministry of Truth correct the record to make it accurate. Now, I can see this, you know, I mean, I think Trump is going to be the master of this in terms of, revisionism is one of the most horrifying things in the world to me. Revisionist history, because, you know, he who controls the past controls the future. And that's a platitude from 1984. But, you know, it's the whole aim of Newspeak in 1984 is to narrow the range of thought. In fact, there's an actual quote from it. Narrow the range of thought. In the end, we shall make thought crime literally impossible, because there will be no words in which to express it. Every concept that can ever be needed will be expressed by exactly one word. Now, I don't think it's going to get quite this simple, but these fact-based narratives get dangerously close to the one-word answer that Orwell was talking about in 1984. It's utterly terrifying. But you know, I want to get into, because this is not just an American thing. This is going to be a global. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, everything they've tried so far to divide us has only worked you know, in localized areas. But this could be the total divide, the divide of the people who believe they're informed and those who truly know the other side is not.
Right. Yeah, and it's really, it's, I don't have enough words to express, and maybe that's what Newspeak did its job on me. I don't have the words to express my thoughts on this, but I want to get into the global.
You brought up one thing that I wanted to touch on too, actually, because consider that the Obama administration is right now scrambling to reverse some of the executive powers in advance of Trump.
Yeah.
And yet they slipped this in. So it shows to the people who think that the parties aren't connected, it shows that there is indeed not much difference. They would not put a propaganda center, which is what this is, they would not put this into place, into law,
well,
if there weren't some degree of coordination between the parties.
He made it law to control information, basically.
Exactly. Like, why would, you know, all this scrambling supposedly that Obama is doing to make things go away that are really, you know, kind of terrifying powers for Trump to have, if it's really all that terrifying, why would he give Trump the powers of propaganda? That, you know, that should be a warning bell to everybody.
Exactly. Why is Obama passing along these terrifying state tools to someone he declares to be a danger to democracy and to the world? He's giving Trump these just incredible powers of surveillance, of drone technology, and now control over information. And, you know, normally I posted this article a couple days ago. Normally when I post articles critical of the Democrats or Obama, I get a kind of critical mass of my listeners immediately coming and trying to, you know, dismantle what I'm saying.
I'm here. You there?
I'm here. Now.
I'm not sure what Jake was going off on there, but breaking up, Jake.
I'm having trouble picking you guys up.
You're good now.
Good. Okay. Good. Yeah. What was happening was I had so many windows open, it was clogging it up. So I apologize if I interrupted you guys a couple times. It sounded like you were done speaking.
Time to get off XP, brother.
I know, man. This MacBook Pro is killing me. I think I missed a couple threads. I cut off. You finished by saying that Obama passed the tools along to Trump, and then DB, I missed what you were saying.
Well, what I was just going to say and just quickly allude to is that these things are being put in place to quash things like when they finally do move in on DAPL, and they intend to once winter's over in full force. And, you know, you have to look at the geopolitics of it behind the lines. If we truly did get Trump in because the military wanted it, because the NSA is the new power structure, and because they believe to keep America safe, we have to kind of leverage an alliance or an agreement with Russia and keep China kind of encircled and encapsulated. And the only way they're going to do that is through oil independence. It's going to happen regardless, or they're just going to, you know, bring in the National Guard and create a huge shit show. So I think, you know, maybe if we can finally get the left energized again, the real left, not the fake ass liberal left, but the progressives, because they have a lot of, I mean, I consider myself partly one of them. I'm Burple, man. You know, I'm in the middle. Yeah. But I'm left-leaning because of California upbringing, and I definitely don't want our entire ecosystem destroyed with freaking oil pipelines.
Right.
If the next war needs oil so bad, we don't need the next war. We need to get off of it completely and just, you know, whatever sacrifice we need to make, our generation, if our standard of living goes to crap because we all go solar panel, so be it.
Well, that ain't going to happen with Trump, brother, but I think, I mean, I agree with you. I think we're pretty much in the same spectrum. I'm you know, in terms of politically leaning. But I mean, I think the real battle right now, and I want to get into some solutions here. And Claire, are you still there, by the way?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Sorry, I had some major technical difficulties. I thought I was gonna have to hang the show up. You know, I think I think the real challenge right now, and I think the signing of this bill makes it all the more clear that we have to get organized in a major, major way. And it's not enough to just say the different groups, the different libertarian. I used to, you know, be really hung up on this idea of the libertarian groups and the leftist groups have to get together and kiss and hug. That's not enough anymore. It's we have to take this down to the local level, and it's going to be brutal. It's going to be friend versus friend of engaging people and explaining to them why what they think is true is not, is a fact-based narrative. And you know, it's we almost don't even have the language for it. We've never really seen anything like this before. It's as if they used 1984 as a playbook. But
yeah,
I think
they did, but this is more like McCarthyism. I mean, right. They have done this before. They yeah. have used this language before. We have had propaganda in major effect before. There has been a propaganda department of the U.S. government before. I mean, this has happened before. We've seen it. The problem is we're dealing with the age of the internet, and we're dealing with technology where we're in a bit of a different situation. There are some good aspects to this, and there are some bad in terms of solutions, like you were talking about. I mean, part of the problem is that we are so heavily reliant on Facebook and on Twitter and on
yes.
Google, these platforms that are routinely known, actively not spied on, but cultivated by the intelligence community in the U.S. and by others. I mean, there is not going to be – that won't relent. And sharing information is going to become very, very difficult because we're not going to have access to as much of it. When we do have access to it and we try to share it, I have the distinct feeling it's going to be quashed as disinformation. And it will be removed, and there will be bans, and yep. there will be a number of difficulties for all of us. This is where like alternative media comes into play. This is where like alternative media becomes like the quashed, kind of blacklisted entity in this country, and that's what's really dangerous here, because if you don't have anybody to hold the political establishment accountable, if you don't have anybody to hold the mainstream media accountable, then you lose all chance at disseminating actual truth in the matter of anything.
Yeah.
I would just say, you know, just to take it even a step further, start getting back into the notion that the actual real relevant and important information is going to still be coming out in the hardcover physical books. First print edition before they're edited, because millions and millions of titles come out every year. And if you buy those initial hardcover editions, they are not edited. This is where, you know, if you get a Freakonomics first edition hardcover, it'll teach you things a college degree won't. And that's going to be the new information. And if you post those pages, what are they going to do? Take it down and go after the author? Facebook
right.
doesn't have enough balls to even go after Snopes for being the POS that it is. So, we're going to have
point.
To go old school.
It's because the old idea of censorship was this Fahrenheit 411 of going out and burning books. Well, it's more complex than that now, because the books and the information is disseminated across a global network. Now we're finding out that the powers that be are going to actually try and infiltrate that network and actually intercept and manufacture the narratives. This is new. This is a new McCarthyism, because
yes.
they didn't have this is far more complex. And the fact this bill, I mean, there is some language in that bill that is just chilling. I mean, and I recommend everyone go out and read it. It's on multiple alternative media websites: Free Thought Project, theantimedia.org, Zero Hedge. I've seen it all over the place. It's spreading like wildfire now because people are finding out that it's real. And the language in there could not be more Orwellian. It simply couldn't.
It literally is the creation of a ministry of truth. It literally
yes.
is. And it parallels the one that's being – Germany looked to what happened in the U.S. With the election of somebody who was outside the establishment, quote unquote. You know, that's definitely arguable. But Germany looked to what happened here and the chaos – caused actually mostly by hysteria from the outgoing party, and they've done the same thing. Theirs is a little worse than ours, perhaps, but they're creating a ministry of truth as well, and it's as if, I mean, you see around the world the rise of totalitarianism and fascism in a very pronounced scale, but it's startling when it comes to the Western world, because I think the Western world was under some sort of delusion that, you know, that whole it couldn't happen here sort of fog, and now here it is. It not only has happened, it is happening. We're faced with what to do in the future. We don't have many options left. The freedoms are dwindling. We have a confluence of kind of a really upset neoliberal left that has a fondness for war, and an incoming hysterically conservative right that has a fondness for Nazism, basically. These things are all coming together into one absolutely abhorrent package of legislation and law and executive power that just makes the state this enormously overbearing kind of rubber stamping violent mechanism of oppression. I mean, I don't mean to fearmonger. That's not my intent. But I think that people have been very polite about what's coming, and I don't think that the time for politeness is now. I think now is the time for genuine, you know, examination of what's coming, and honest presentation of the really terrifying powers that the executive is going to have.
I'd like to share a couple anecdotes of how this is already taking shape and form. One is, everybody loves Lee Camp. And Lee Camp just released, a pretty about-face damning 4chan and the whole Pizzagate thing that's now moved to vote.co. So I believe he's a pretty reasonable guy and probably understands that his burgeoning career here has possibly hit a wall if he didn't do something like this. This is just, again, my own thoughts. And maybe if either of you know him, you can reach out and find out. But when somebody does something like that, it screams to me that the action was kind of pushed on them somehow. Another thing is, there's a person, I have great respect for that has started organizations that are really vital, like Cop Block. And that person's an older guy, and they use Chrome, and Chrome has now got a add-on that says right on the top right corner, fake news or not a reliable source, right there, right there. So what is the guy starting to do now is just push out parroting MSM because the stuff's got the little green check up at the top right. And again, Google Chrome here. And this is a guy that's, he's got a lot of pull in the alternative media world, and he's being sucked right in, dude. And it's the scariest thing to see.
Well, I agree with you. That's happening with a lot of people in activism and alternative media. I see that all the time, and it is terrifying when you see people that you have had respect for in some way or another start to parrot exactly the propaganda of the government. It blows your mind. It really does. I know that there are actually going to be lawsuits in place. Like, there are lawsuits coming for libel against the Washington Post, which originally preferred the narrative of first the all alternative media was basically Russian propagandists, and then also that we were basically working in tandem with the Russian government and the whole CIA, Russia hacked the election sort of thing. There are some lawsuits coming. I've seen talk of that. But it seems at this point as if this is a tidal wave and we're trying to hold it back with a plastic cup. I mean, this is huge. This is a hugely kind of infective narrative that the government has effectively positioned on top of all of us. And there's not much we can do at this point.
And I think at this point, we have to understand the influence of the surveillance state as the control mechanism behind this. Let's be honest, these people that DB was referring to, they know everything about us. They know what we look up on the internet. They know what we do in our private lives. They know everything about us, and they can use that against us. And people that have a lot more to lose than me can have that used against them. A lot of people ask, why doesn't Noam Chomsky come out as a truther? Well, he has a family. Let's be honest. And
why
did
will,
Bernie Sanders get behind
there.
Hillary Clinton? Well, he has a family. You don't think these things happen? Get real. They happen, and they're about to start happening on a much more. What's that?
I don't know if you got that delay, that much delayed, Jake, but you know, deathbed confessions are becoming the norm now here. I mean, you know, God, I can only imagine what Glenn might have uttered recently here. So, and I know that somebody was talking to him there in his hospital bed. So,
what do we do?
We're on the verge right now. Like, we're on the verge of a government takeover. It's happening all around us. I mean, this is, you know, I have drawn parallels to McCarthyism and to the Red Scare, and they're completely legitimate, but this is exponentially worse. We are finally connected on the internet. We are finally connected globally. Of course, governments have their varying levels of censorship, but in the U.S., we have been connected to other people and other narratives and to legitimate information, even from, say, other states' websites, like Russian media or Iranian media or, you know, any number of other narratives, where we can look at that information and we can parse it out for ourselves. We have been presented that opportunity until now. And now that this legislation has passed, now that this is law, not only will we not necessarily have that chance, but we are going to be, rained down with U.S. propaganda in its place. We have both the labeling of quote-unquote fake news as disputed, you know, legitimate information is going to be labeled as disputed, but we're also going to be filtered. Our information on this internet is going to be filtered. Now, I'm sorry if people have a problem with, you know, the idea that this might be a bit of hyperbolic cautionism or whatever. But if you look at countries like China or, you know, very strict states, we are now in one of those states to a degree. We have taken the first step. This is the first step to basically closing off, to building... to building a wall around our information to where we can only get certain information that the government wants us to have. And, you know, I've talked a lot about how dangerous that is to alternative media, but the biggest danger this presents is to the public, because if the public does not have accurate information about what's going on, they have nothing to critically, you know, examine at all. It's terrifying to me. My primary interest as an activist has always been basically First Amendment issues in terms of free speech and free information, and particularly freedom of the press. My family has background in media, and the media is vastly different from where they came from. But this is one of those steps where you look at it and you say, wow, the government just legalized burning books.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's akin to.
And, you know, I think they got us by the balls to use such a harsh language, because I just don't see a way to fight back against it right now, other than people have to really value privacy. People need to start using a Tor browser. They need to start using, we need to get underground in terms of our social networks. They can't be looking at everything we're doing. That's all there is to it, because then they can anticipate what we're going to do. This is a war now. This is an information war. And if they don't like those words being used, then they shouldn't be coming after us the way they are. But, I mean...
Well, we also have... I mean, when you're... Like you're saying, government surveillance of social media is incredibly important. They even survey the chats that we have. Whether or not you use Messenger does not matter. There are key terms when you use that trigger the system to respond to and actually watch you closer. So if you're discussing, say, as a journalist, you're discussing in a chat some article on terrorism and you mention a terrorist and you put terrorist in the chat, the government is notified to that. And they're alerted to watch you even more closely. And then they're going to pick about your posts. And if you have said anything that's even slightly, you know, off the cuff or anything else, then, I mean, you're held in jeopardy for that. This is what we're talking about. Like, it's a multifaceted front of censorship, because it's censorship by the government. It's self-censorship out of fear of the government. And it's propaganda inundating the entire scene.
You're right. It's a three-tiered thing, and it's panopticon. You're right in that it's panopticomic in terms of we're doing it to ourselves now.
We don't have a choice. We don't have a choice in a way. I mean, like, this is where you have to hold yourself. It's as if you hold yourself in jeopardy here. I don't censor myself on Facebook. I just don't. I'm one of those people. But at the same time, I hold no delusions that there won't be men in riot gear breaking down my door at any second, particularly now. Like, I see that happening. I've seen the surveillance. I've seen it happening in places where I've gone to actually be an activist and not a journalist. I've seen it in Standing Rock, the surveillance. There were some very eerie things where you discuss something on social media and 5 seconds later something happens that seems directly related. Well, that's not a coincidence. No. More and more of that will be happening. And with this new Ministry of Truth in place, where propaganda is the rule of day, because you have these, like, basically state-sponsored narratives that are the quote-unquote truths that are acceptable, I mean, this is territory we're delving into that, although perhaps our parents or grandparents experienced. We have not experienced it yet, and it has not been, you know, we haven't experienced this during the age of the internet.
Right.
And this is a whole new terrain that we're treading into. And it's really terrifying, because if you think about the government actually pulling the plug or filtering, you know, specific words or specific narratives and just, like, pulling that information because they have the capability to do that.
Well, they're doing it in a much more, you know, efficient manner. What they're doing is they're conscripting the Google and Facebook companies in there so that they can affect the algorithm, making it to where these alternative media websites that generate their revenue based upon viewership, they can affect that algorithm, affect their income. They can affect their reach on Facebook. So certain pages that were getting, you know, 1 million reach 3 months ago are getting, like, you know, 10,000 now. So they're doing it by conscripting Google and Facebook.
That's actually even another aspect, because, yeah, there's suppression of posts. These arbiters of the fake news for Facebook will also, if they label something disputed, it will, like, sink in the news feed. So there is that suppression. But the thing is, I guess what I'm discussing is, with the government also surveilling social media, then you also have the direct suppression now with this government propaganda organization. You have direct suppression as well. So not only do you have the government censoring posts that it deems favorable to the quote-unquote enemy, but you also have the suppression going on by Facebook in tandem with the government for narratives that it deems quote-unquote fake. I mean, this is such a multifaceted front and such, I don't know. I mean, when I knew that this was going to happen and I was watching for it, and when I saw the NDA pass the Friday before Christmas and when I saw that the propaganda provisions were in it, it was as if my heart sank.
Yeah,
this was a moment for me where, I mean, I've always held such journalism to such a high standard, and, you know, from the age of Watergate on, when my parents were journalists, and I thought that it was so amazing that, you know, people who are just people could go and divulge the truth to the world and the corruption will be exposed. And now we have this in place, and this is it's as if the government took its overly redactive black highlighter and applied it to everyone, to all information, and to all people who choose to dissent the narrative. This is terrifying.
It is terrifying. You just gave me even more chills than I already had because, you know, it's right. And, you know, look, you know, people – go ahead.
I was just going to say, man, it creates the zombie scenario that – we all love to watch on TV because you're literally going to have these masses that they're not going to go out and get the true story. They're not going to read a book. They're not going to, you know, actually listen to a podcast or research an independent website. They're going to get it all from Facebook, Instagram, all these social media sites. They're going to funnel them. All this basically, for the most part, let's face it, mainstream news is correct. It uses data. The data comes from the government, so they're just a mouthpiece for them.
Absolutely.
How much better are they than the government? How much more reputable are they than our own government? I mean, no, obviously we know, you know, that's
a mouthpiece. The mainstream media is a mouthpiece for the State Department. We already know that. And, you know, the State Department is now saying what facts and what narratives are to be put out there and which facts and narratives are to be suppressed. And now they have the technical infrastructure for it. And now they have the cultural infrastructure for it too, because people are accepting this. So your homework assignments, people, are this. First and foremost, go out and read the new bill. It's in the NDAA. I don't have my windows open. Defense Authorization Act, but it was slipped in there as the Disinformation and Propaganda Act. Read the bill and educate yourself on it so you know what we're talking about. Secondly, download Tor as a browser and start obscuring your searches so that you are not being looked at constantly in everything you look up. Download the app Signal so that you can message your friends without the government knowing. Signal, it's very easy to upload onto your phone, and it's encrypted messaging. That's what we have to that's the first tool that we have to start fighting back again is encryption. And you know, it's crucial that we do that. You know, Claire, thank you so much for coming on and expressing, you know, the fear I have, and DB, with your
brave new world, brave new world, fellas, it's
brave new world,
and lady.
don't get too scared, but don't get complacent, people. Come on, get it together. I'ma let 'em know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo.